It's a fan morning show. Christmas holiday edition. We're talking about things to watch during the holidays. Obviously, the World Juniors is right up there because it will be one of the only things as well that you'll be able to watch during the holidays, as it will hopefully, knock on wood, not be canceled. I did see they're cutting capacity to 50%. Whatever allows the tournament to continue is all I have to say. We're waiting for our boy Sam. Yeah, better than no fans, but still.
Better than no fans. My goodness. So, yeah, let the people in the building.
We're going to talk to Sam Cosentino right now, Sportsnet junior hockey analyst and studio analyst on Hockey Central. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
So we obviously know watching the World Juniors is at the top of your list, but if you ever have a break in between the games, what's the first thing you want to watch on your tiny time that you do have?
Well, I'd probably be watching some golf. I enjoy that immensely. Wow. And if not, maybe a little NHL action, because there'll be some games in between this year for sure. So got to keep up to date on that stuff for when I get back into the studio. But I enjoy all of that. And, you know, if those two aren't an option, then would like to be watching a junior game somewhere in the country, if not, then on video.
Just a reminder that this Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So you don't have like a holiday movie you want to throw in there? Just sports, eh? Strictly sports guy.
Yeah, no, we're going sports. Sometimes the NBA Christmas Day games are pretty good too. But no, I'm going all sports. A little bit of Home Alone with the kids, so they enjoy that.
Okay, but, there you go.
Yeah, but we're trying to get them geared up towards the sports anyway, so why not take the time, right?
You're lucky that your hockey passports are all stamped in the right places, because hockey guys admitting that they even watch a little bit of basketball is dangerous territory, buddy. Like, even in today's day and age. It was just, you're like, oh, maybe a little tiny bit on the side. They're pretty good every once in a while. Sam Cosentino, beauty of all beauties. So, man, this tournament, this Team Canada group, I don't know if it's because we, or what the result of this is exactly, but there are three massive names for Team Canada going into this tournament. Does this feel like, to you, it's going to be one of those classic teams that we look back on 10, 20 years from now and say, holy crap, this team was all put together this way under these circumstances?
Well, it's interesting, JD, because if I go back to 2011, which is the last time Dave Cameron was the head coach there, and they had that epic loss with the comeback by Russia in the third period. I think when he got the opportunity this time around, he wanted to make sure that, I think, the team, he had more of an impact on the team. So two things. I think with him taking the job, he wanted to make sure that he had some measure of control over who was being selected. But also, when I look at Alan Miller, who worked with Dave Cameron back in Toronto in the late 90s, and James Boyd, who was Dave's assistant coach for a long time in Mississauga, they knew kind of what Dave was all about. And I think the invite list to the camp reflected that, and I think the final roster reflected that. So it is pretty interesting, because I think this team is tailor-made for what Dave Cameron is trying to do. Four lines that are balanced. The team that really is going to work hard in the forecheck is going to work as hard getting it back as when they have the puck. So I think there's been a lot of influence from those around him to select this team, but I also think Dave has had a significant impact in what this final roster looks like.
So I was lucky enough to be at the World Championships in Latvia this May, where I got to see some of these players up close and personal. And I wondered about the experience factor playing at the biggest stage at that point, besides the Olympics, really, to be playing with older, experienced veterans, and how much you think that will allow for them to have an upper edge, someone like a Perfetti and a Power during the World Juniors here.
Yeah, no, I think it's a huge thing, because you get that exposure to the NHL pros and what they do and how they go about their business on the day of a game, what they're doing away from the rink in terms of their eating habits and rest and that sort of thing. So that can only help but have a positive impact on those guys. But the second part of that is being able to play under pressure when the games are, at their most important. And the thing about those two guys in particular, I mean, that experience was really interesting because there was a ton of adversity off the top. It was an 0-2 or an 0-3 start for Canada, and no team had ever come back to win a world gold based on that start. So when you have that adversity, I'm always a big fan that if you can fight through it, you're going to be better off down the road. And Ailish, I think the second thing about it is you look at the players that are returning from last year's team, you know, Dylan Grant, Caden Gooley, Cole Perfetti. Those guys can also help navigate the rest of the group through what the schedule looks like, through what the COVID protocols are going to be like. And I think that experience is invaluable to the team moving forward and trying to get everyone on the same page.
Sam, at the other end of the experience spectrum is obviously a guy like Connor Bedard, who's going to be on this team at just 16 years old. You know, I'm sure he can lean on those more veteran guys, but for a 16-year-old to make this team, just how special a kid are we looking at here?
Well, you know, he was granted, the first player granted exceptional status in the Western Hockey League for a reason, and a big part of the reason is his ability to handle things that are away from the rink. I think everyone agreed that on the ice, he was going to be able to perform at a level that was exceptional. We saw it last year, you know, in the bubble in Regina. We saw it at the under-18s. And now he's just starting to get going with his Regina Pats team this year. So that part has been taken care of. But when I look at Connor's game in its entirety, you know, a big reason why he was selected to play on this team was because of his ability to score when the pressure was at its highest. So his 14 points at the under-18, 10 of them came during Canada's run in the playoffs and into the medal round when the games were most important. And I think the next thing about Connor, he has a really exceptional shooting ability. So when I look at him, I don't know if we're going to see a ton of him 5-on-5, at least early on in the tournament, but you'll probably see him work on the power play and be a guy who might be able to buy himself some 5-on-5 or even strength currency with his ability to play on the power play. So it's pretty special. I mean, only six guys have done it before him, but Connor, no doubt, is deserving of the honor.
So I don't know why. Maybe this is, again, because I'm coming to this a little bit later or because I am, like, the definition of a casual when it comes to junior hockey. But it to me, as an outsider, it has felt very much like people are excited to see power. And that Ailish just brought up one of the big narratives about how this is just, you know, a real Owen. I'm expecting him to just be by, like, far and away the best player in this tournament, given everything at his disposal. Everyone wants to see Connor because he is very new, flashy. There's just a lot of intrigue there. There's been so many incredible comparisons made. And that, weirdly, Shane Wright feels like the odd man out from the narrative standpoint. Does it feel that way to you? Why has that happened? What are you most excited about seeing from Shane Wright this tournament? A guy who I've seen compared to Sidney Crosby, which I know happens with just about everybody that's projected to go first overall, but, man, I'm very, very excited to watch this kid play.
Well, you know what, JD? Maybe you're a little bit behind because you haven't seen all the betting lines yet. So if that happens to come out, then I'm sure that's going to get you up to speed in the hurry.
Yeah, no, but,
when I look at Shane Wright, he is forgotten about a little bit because really what we talked about him as an exceptional player and coming into the league at 15 and putting up 39 goals and, you know, just about a point per game with the Kings and Frontenacs. And then with no OHL play, we got a little glimpse of what he can be at the under-18s. But even in that event, where he was the captain, where he won a gold medal, where he tied for the team lead with 14 points, he wasn't at optimum health. He had about three or four different issues ongoing with him and still was able to perform at that elite level. So I think what I'm looking most forward to for Shane Wright is just being able to watch him play when he's healthy. So he has some pretty good line mates, you know, over there in Kingston and has had that even going back to his 15-year-old year. But he's going to have elite talent beside him. We saw what he can do at the under-18s. This will be a step above that. But most importantly, getting an opportunity to watch him play at optimum health is what I'm most excited about for Shane.
And it's another opportunity for Leafs fans to see some of their young prospects both on Finland and the United States. Who are we excited to see? And maybe it's for one of the first opportunities for Leafs fans to get to watch some of these players at the world stage here.
Yeah, well, probably the least heralded would be Roni Hirvonen. You know, just a good, solid, steady, forward, smaller, kind of skilled guy, a lot in the vein of what we've seen come through the Toronto system. But more importantly, and maybe with a better emphasis on Topi Niemelä, who was the defenseman of the tournament last year, a guy who's, last I looked, was 10th in Liga in scoring. And as a defenseman at his age, is really, really heady stuff. So he's a guy who's a really good puck manager. He skates extremely well. He thinks the game well. And so I think fans, when looking at this iteration of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they keep thinking about, we need to add a defenseman. And not to say that Topi is going to come in and play right away, you know, after this tournament is over or even into next year, but the future looks bright for this young man on the Toronto Maple Leafs blue line. And the other guy that people are going to get excited about, because they also feel that this tends to be a need for the team throughout, is Matthew Knies, who NCAA player, who's big, strong, powerful, shoots the puck, can literally take over games with his size and strength. And so that's something that you always want to be able to kind of develop within. That's been a long time coming for that player to come through the Toronto Maple Leaf system. So I think people are really excited to be able to watch Matthew perform for the U.S. because of those traits that he brings to the table.
Sammy, great stuff. We're very excited for this tournament. We're very excited for a lot of these prospects that you've helped us identify today. Thanks for making time for us today, buddy. And we'll keep your secret about you watching some of those NBA games.
Hey, I got to tell you, the Slovaks at about 30 plus 3,500, mm-hmm. Not a bad sneaky bet there. So check the futures, all right, JD?
I can't do it. This is the thing, though. You obviously don't know enough about my gambling, is I'm bad at it, and I'm basically a sucker who always bets the team he wants to win. So I'll be betting Team Canada over and over and over again, no matter what the juice is.
Oh, don't tell them that. They won't be happy if they happen to lose one.
I know, man. Oh, Sam Cosentino, you're the best.
Thanks,
enjoy the tournament, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Take care.
See you, buddy. That insider?
That insider, yes, that insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Who doesn't want a little Don Valley Lexus in their front driveway with a big bow on it for Christmas?
So, I would.
Is that what I'm getting from you? Because we have to wait till we're getting back to the city, and you kind of looked at
I'm
us.
Yeah, I'm working
like,
on it with them.
Yeah, as if you'd ever.
You know how
that
I give them away every day on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the only ones who haven't gotten one, so that would be nice if you could do that.
So Sam pumped the tires there of Slovakia, who are seventh. They're ranked seventh by the tournament odds. They're at plus 15,000 to win, plus 5,000 to finish top three. But the more interesting thing he set up there for me, I think, was Topi coming off of a tournament where he was already the standout defenseman, is plus 1,500 to win tournament MVP. Finland's only fifth in terms of tournament odds, but they're a plus 110 to finish top three. So, like, it's like the odds set up that this is a five-team tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because you can't pick a, like, it's really hard to pick a Canadian guy to win MVP. No, but from a gambling perspective, I'm not saying it's hard. I'm not saying it's hard to envision a Canadian winning MVP. It's which guy. To figure out, you know, Perfetti versus Power versus Wright, like that's a more, even Sebastian Casa, like that's a more complicated pick. So if you're going off board and you're going longer shot, the best defenseman in the tournament potentially, I don't know.
So the best defenseman in the tournament is going to be Owen Power.
And sorry, he's going to make the best non-Canadian defenseman.
I know. Old Topi Niemelä is going to look like far away from the NHL compared to Owen Power. So it's going to be like, who cares? We're going to be doing the Conor McGregor drop for Topi because Owen Power is in this tournament. So, yes, there's a reason why he's down the ranks, is because the Canadian players exist. I was joking about how it's not hard to bet one of the Canadians because it's like, it's not hard because old rubes like me want to do it. Do you have all the odds in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, it's strictly, I'm talking in terms of like value, right?
I know you are. Hey, okay. I know you are. No, let's get this out of the way. I know that you are talking value. You're not saying that this guy should be favored and he's at a plus. What is he? 1,200 to be MVP?
Plus 1,500.
Plus 1,500 to be MVP. Yes. We're very clearly talking about value. What I will say to you is, I very much expect Owen Power to be the MVP of this tournament. I think that this is going to be, remember Thomas Chabot a couple of years ago, where it was, oh my God, this guy's on the ice the entire game and he is shutting down the opposition and he is so clearly the best player on Team Canada. That's what I envision here. I just think Owen Power is going to come in and absolutely dominate this tournament. Ailish, you said it. Like, I watched that tournament when he was in Latvia a couple of games, and guess what? I never thought about Owen Power. Oh man, he's young. He's got some real growing to do. Oh, he's needs some seasoning. You know what I thought? This guy might be our best defenseman on the team, and he was a baby. He's a little baby. He's gonna. I almost used the M word, the murder word, because I was like, he's going to murder people. But that's it. He is going to murder this tournament. It's Owen Power's world. We're all living in it. I can't wait to watch this guy absolutely dominate some little Slovakian teenager who's like, oh, we're going to win the tournament. Oh, Owen Power's here. Oh, never mind. Go, Canada, go. What are we talking about here? Slovakia. Get out of here, Sammy. We brought you on to be an expert, and you're bringing me Slovakia? Owen Power's here.
So I think Owen Power's, like, if we're ignoring the value plays, his biggest competition for the MVP is probably going to be Cole Perfetti, who was also on that world championship team. I know he only had 2 goals in the 10 games, but he's, again, a baby.
He didn't stand
out
too much there, for sure. No. Like, when I was watching, it was Cole Perfetti sometimes on the ice, a lot of times not getting the opportunity. But as we mentioned, they were playing with, you know, older, more experienced players. But Owen Power definitely had his moments, and I think that was just a testament to how much farther ahead he was than Cole Perfetti.
Yeah, I just think, you know, a guy who can rack up points is always going to have, like, it's a media vote, right? So, and Canada has the weaker of the two pools, so there are opportunities to pad those stats a little bit. And Perfetti's a guy that, I mean, this applies to Owen Power for the most part as well, but yeah, he has world junior experience. He has that world championship experience. He has a couple games in the NHL under his belt. He wasn't exactly killing it for Manitoba earlier this year, like a shade under a point per game. But I don't know. I think that's probably Power's biggest competition comes, you know, inside that same locker room. Because I would think that, Perfetti is the odds favorite to lead the tournament in scoring.
So what I would say to this, though, the counter to the media vote, Blake, you and I talk about this a lot, how when you're voting on the NBA or the NFL, there's so many games that you have to watch that you end up having a bias for things that you watch more. You might catch a team on one good night and then miss some of their bad games or a player's bad games. And when you look at all things being equal, you have to go to statistics, right? You have to go and say, well, this guy averaged the most points per game, so maybe I should give the lean here. This is a very short tournament where it is very hockey-educated people who cover it and get votes. It is people who love the tournament. And so if you have someone like Owen Power who doesn't show up necessarily the same way statistically as some other players, but he's dominant and looks like the best player, this is more of an eye test tournament than looking at it through the lens of a regular season in professional sports. So I would say, what is Owen Power's number?
For MVP?
Yeah.
Plus 700.
Yeah, I'm banging that drum all the way down the road.
That's number surprising. One, by the way. That's number one.
Yeah. Well, wow. But that makes sense because it's a tournament where somebody gets hot and you end up having someone score two game-winning goals in big spots and you go, well, that's the tournament MVP. So
Mangiapane for Canada when we were at the at WHF tournament, like, he came out of nowhere and helped that team go from 0-3 to winning the gold medal for the first time that's ever happened. And it was like on the backs of him, who you probably wouldn't have predicted to have a standout tournament. So you're right. So these stages are really exciting for fans because anything can happen and any player can have this breakthrough moment. And like, that's the most exciting thing for me when I watch the World Juniors, is sometimes the lesser known guys really impress you. And that's why I think betting on it is always a little bit difficult too.
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah. And you run into situations like last year's World Juniors is a good example, where the narrative choice and the IIHF directorate actually gave Tim Stützle, I'm not going to try to do the German pronunciation of that.
Stützle.
They gave him best forward, but Trevor Zegras won the MVP from the media vote. And then there was the extra level of Topi, who Sam just teed up as a really interesting Leafs prospect. He was given top defenseman by the IIHF directorate, and he wasn't even on the all-tournament team as voted by the media, and that was with Finland winning the bronze. So short tournament opinions are definitely gonna vary here. That's why going with the top Canadian guy and the number one pick is it's a easy sell, that's for sure.
Don't overthink it. Just do the right thing, and that's bet the best player in the tournament, and that's Owen Power. He's not maybe going to be the best out of this entire group come end of this, but he is going to be the best defenseman that is at this tournament with a bullet. And that brings me to this. I asked Sam, and he... This is always a tough one for the hardcore guys that are embedded in all year long, right? Where you go, hey, how is this going to look for the casuals? I have this... This feels really special. We've had some Team Canadas recently, and this isn't me trying to throw any shade at anybody. I this is not the reason for this, because this is like we acknowledge this is where we go. They're kids. But there have been some World Junior rosters recently that have not been, let's just say, the most top heavy in terms of these, or not exactly draws from the standpoint of, oh my God, you have to see this team. Oh, this group is just completely loaded. Like I know that I went, I think it was 2019. When did I last go where we lost to America on the New Year's game? Either way, it was like it just there wasn't a ton of talent on Team Canada that you went, oh my God, this is special talent. These are guys that they're all going to play in the NHL someday, or a lot of them are anyways. So you feel like that's an interesting component. But this one has three what are going to be first overall picks on Team Canada. Barring some type of disaster, you're going to have Owen Power, Shane Wright, and Connor Bedard all be first overall picks in their respective drafts. Mm-hmm. Guys who are special exemption players. And I can't help but feel like this is, if you're a casual hockey fan, very special that this has intense... this has real... I have a point of interest in watching all of these games tournament, right? There's usually sometimes with the World Juniors, this would be my one drawback of Blake's second overall choice, is that you end up with the odd World Junior tournament where you only want to watch the America game, the Russia game, and then call me during the playoff stuff. This actually feels like one where I want to watch every game of the tournament because of those three guys. I wonder if you will both feel the same way.
Yeah, especially with the fact that there won't be a lot of competition in terms of what to be watching. That makes it even more exciting for me. Like I can see myself just sitting there and trying to consume as much of it as I can. That's the special part, as you said, of this roster. And I know what you're talking about with like sometimes the roster over the last little while hasn't been as intriguing. That's very much accurate. And I know it's tough because they're young and we don't want to put all this pressure on them, but we do get excited for big names. And that's kind of how the World Juniors is appealing to casual fans, as you said. Like, you know that there's going to be some top selections on Team Canada. Like, I don't know how you wouldn't want to tune into that. So this time around, it's really such a thrill to be able to watch these guys before they even are on an NHL team. Like, that's not something you get to see all the time.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited for this team. I'm very, very excited for this group. It's a very top-heavy team that obviously has some pretty serious depth. It's not a, no offense, this is not an offense. This is just, I'm just saying that this isn't a Dylan Dubé, Victor Mete, Dante Fabro team where that's the top three guys that are the captains of this. It's like, this is Shane Wright, Connor Bedard, Owen Power. That's a very nice trio to headline your Team Canada and to headline your viewing. Also, Ailish, I love that you keep saying there's not anything to watch. The NHL's coming back on the 27th, okay? The pause, but how
yeah,
long
you
do you
say
think
that
the pause
now.
Is? No, but I know, but you keep saying this.
I don't know. I don't trust them.
Yeah, you're like, there's nothing to watch. The NBA has said we're not taking a pause. We're going to have Christmas Day games. There's going to be so many sports.
You see how quick things change? Like last week, we the teams were all going to the Olympics and there was no shutdowns. And all of a sudden this week, there's like crickets in terms of schedule. So I'm trying to predict. I'm trying to have low expectations, what I'm saying. I will be very happy if there's sports back, but at the same time, I'm just going to, you know, hold a little bit of, I don't know, just, yeah, not get overexcited.
It also hurts me very, very deeply that the team that I was thinking of the last time I went to a World Juniors game was 2017. It was the Dylan Strome captain team.
Oh,
and
wow,
I went
yeah.
to the New Year's game at Scotiabank Arena where it felt like the least I've ever been to a World, because I've been to World Juniors games in multiple cities and Toronto did not do...
I've actually never been to a World Juniors game.
Really?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to go. I've just been busy. Been playing my own World Juniors games.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah. So, you know what's funny about that is that makes that, all of a sudden I go, how could you not? And then I remember Ailish is an athlete who actually had to play hockey during the
Especially
hockey
around
season.
That time. Like, you don't get a break. So, sadly, I've never been to one in person, but I've always had, like, viewing, especially when we were in the States at school. Like, we'd sit there and most of our team was about a 50-50 split between Canada, U.S. So us watching that Canada-U.S. game on, like, New Year's Eve, we'd be at school because we'd be playing. So it was always a fun viewing experience, like, set up the TV and half the team is Canadian, half the team is American. And that's what I remember most about kind of watching the World Juniors growing up and when I was at college, having, like, those little rivalries between my team.
I love that. Do you remember what the split was when you were at school? The record, like, of what we had in those games?
No, I could go look it up, but I always feel like we came out on top. Maybe I'm just being biased because we had, like, more fun, and if we didn't come on top, we would at least make the night enjoyable. I was gonna say
you were definitely there for the outdoor game where we lost, which sucked because it was the
what year was that?
I think that was 2018.
Yeah, so 2017, 2018. You're talking about the shootout loss to the U.S. at the outdoor
that
game? Yeah.
Sucked.
Yeah. So December 2017, January 2018.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I wouldn't have
been
in the States then, sadly.
You weren't. Okay. So I forget that you're a little bit older than you are, and I can't, you're just an ageless wonder. All right. Let's take a break.
That's right.
Let's come back. And even though we just talked a bunch about our World Juniors picks and plays for MVPs, let's do our picks for this weekend in the NFL with our pal, Cool Bet Chris Abbott. That's next. Fan Morning Show. Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Sportsnet 59 of the Fan. I don't mean to be laughing at Ailish's misfortune, but it's hard not to. He's on Zoom just panicking.
So, obviously, this is an audio medium, so you can't see the panic right now, and I didn't see if it was water or tea or coffee or what, but
I spilled an entire bottle of water on my computer. Everything is, like, all the cords are soaked.
Okay, so Ailish, what I'm going to suggest right now is, I'm going to suggest you mute, and then you deal with that, and JD and I will tag you.
We'll laugh at your misfortune. Oh, sorry, just talk to you, Cool Bet Chris. Oh, no, that's what you meant. Do the show? Oh, not just laugh at Ailish? Okay.
No, we can do both. Just again, now she's muted, so we can she's still listening though, so we can't be too harsh on her, but it's okay. We got another third filling in here anyway. From Cool Bet, their national brand manager. Cool Bet Chris, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We are doing
two
good.
Of us are good.
Well, that's why I said gentlemen, because I realize Ailish is not good right now. But that's okay. I hope her computer's all right. I hope it's also company issued and she can just go get a new one from IT.
So
my guess is that she's using her personal computer, not her work computer for this.
Yeah. My guess too.
Tough break.
I'm the worst person. Yeah, like, tough break. That cracks me up even harder than anything else. Just, oh, hey, that's too bad for you. Oh, what's my computer? Oh, dry as a bone over here, actually. Thank you for asking. One of Ailish's fingers just appeared in the screen. We'll let the listener decide which it may have been. So I'm about to check. Oh, Chris, I have an update for you. I wanted you to know that there is another, I am back on the darts gambling train. I lost that first darts bet, and guess what? So here's the thing, darts start early, and so I love having the throw down the early dart. Like, there was a D Hedda faced L Woodhouse this morning at 7:30 a.m., and guess what? Cha-ching, -256, part of the parlay already down. Let's go! So, I have been on the darts, so thanks a lot for that. Classic Cool Bet Chris tells me about one of the options on Cool Bet, and I go, who would bet that? And then it's me who bets it like a total squid.
The disrespect to Luke Woodhouse here to just
did you actually know their name?
L Woodhouse. No, absolutely not. I looked it up.
Okay. No, but some people are darts hardos, bro. Some people who know about darts, you either know nothing, you either call him L Woodhouse and you read his name there, or you're someone who goes, Luke Woodhouse is from Uxbridge and his mother was a tailor. Like, they know, whoa, this is now getting super weird.
But you know what's funny about these Darts guys is they all have, like, nicknames. Like, Russian Ronnie and, like...
Yeah, the Rocket. Yeah, yeah, they're all like that.
They all get these grossly branded, like, personal brand shirts. But there's something just beautiful about it. And it takes place in this big hall in London, and it, man, I'm telling you, it looks amazing, and I'm glad the favorites are coming through for you.
I can't remember, I think he's Austrian, but there's a guy, I've watched it before because sometimes it's on TV, and I love the triple 20, yes, 180. But there's a guy whose nickname is the barista. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know if that's because he's serving everyone. I don't know what the deal is there. But that's a hard nickname. I like that.
That's
good. It's such a silly nickname that you know you're in for it if you're going up against the barista. It's just, oh, yeah, piping hot coming your way.
See, that's where I was going to go with it is because it's so hot. Piping hot. Is that's got to be the reason why it's the barista. Uh-oh, Ailish is officially frozen. Which cannot mean, oh, and the computer is gone, which means that, oh, it might be over for old Ailish. So, Chris, which streak ends sooner? Granted that, because Blake and I are both streaking. Actually, I have a positive streak and a negative streak going, which is not good. So, I have picked correctly 6-0 in this segment, 6 weeks in a row against the spread in the NFL with my best bet. Blake has picked 6 in a row in this segment for our parlay. That's included some plus number bets, by the way. That isn't just been like, because our rule for this parlay is usually, hey, Blake, we can pick something that's minus 200. I actually believe, and I'm doing this unresearched, Blake will probably have it in a spreadsheet somewhere. I think Blake has picked as many plus number bets in that 6-game winning streak as he has even money. Like, there has been some really good picks. Even yesterday, the Thunder won outright, and I went, Blake, it's Jokic versus the Thunder. The game was never in doubt. The guy has got a little bit of the juju going right now with the NBA picks. It's and NHL, too, because I know you picked the Islanders when they were underdogs at plus money, and so that was on the list. Which one of these streaks is going to end first? Myself against the spread this week in the NFL, or Blake this week against the spread in the NHL or NBA?
That's tough. So here's the thing. Your spread picks are generally tied to my personal financial gain. So I'm going to hope that it's Blake's streak that falls. That's all that I can say.
That's true. We did have a massive parlay because of the Circa Million Dollar Contest, which we are all in. We've been very good against the spread the last 3 weeks. These are our stats from the last 3 weeks. You pick five games every single week. We went 5-0, 3-2, and 4-1 in the last 3 weeks. Our picks against the spread. So we're bound for some regression this one. However, I feel very confident about the picks that I have this week as well. So did you look up where we are in terms of the final quarter standings? With that 5-0 one bumped out of there, I'm guessing that it doesn't help us very much.
No, we're tied with like 1,000 people with a decent record. Great. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Like the first 2 weeks of that final thing are over and there's a bunch of 10-0s and 9-1s. Yeah.
See, we needed that 5-0 in there, and having that be the cutoff line is heartbreaking. So let's go to the NFL to start, guys, and let's bring up our best bets for the weekend. I would like to submit the Colts. I'm going to go first on this. Colts-Cardinals this week, it's Colts plus 2.5. I don't understand this line to the point where that's the only thing I have against it. To me, that Cardinals team is soft. They let the Lions just run all over them. They couldn't do anything. Their defense is beat up. They do not look like a dominant force on either side of the ball. Kyler Murray, Blake, do you still have those numbers? I actually think that they're still in the dock in terms of his stats, quarterback rating-wise, month over month in the NFL, because this guy just gets worse and worse as the season goes on. I actually have it. It's under NFL in our dock if you want to read them because you prepared them.
Yeah, so it's not a steady trend downward, but weeks 13 to 17 are by far his worst weeks of the year. So over the first 12 weeks, he's hovered between 92 and 104 in terms of quarterback rating. And I know quarterback rating isn't the best stat all the time, but it's readily available and it's a helpful guide. So anywhere from 92 to 104 as you chop up those first 12 weeks, weeks 13 to 17, it drops to 84. So you're talking about like maybe a 15% decline, maybe even a little larger with Kyler Murray in the last quarter of the season.
I think some of that is also tied to DeAndre Hopkins' injury trouble as well. Like, he's out of the lineup last week. Christian Kirk maybe gets double teamed. Then you've got AJ Green and Zach Ertz is the only guys you're going to. And that's, you know, those guys are good, but it's not DeAndre Hopkins. So when he needs a big play and he can find number 10 most nights, he misses him a lot. I mean, honestly, guys, if not for James Conner there last week, like they're well out of that one.
Yeah, and James Conner, too, has been beat up recently. Like, he's not fully healthy. So I just don't like this Cardinals team right now. I think Cliff Kingsbury is getting exposed yet again, that he is totally the football coach who shows up at the beginning of the year, and when games don't matter as much, he dominates. And then as things go on, when he is a favorite at home, which he is here in these later months, he does not do well against the spread. He has a negative record. He is 5 games under .500 according to just the spread. So I don't trust the coach. I don't trust the quarterback during this time of year. I love the point about DeAndre Hopkins being out. He's such a huge weapon for Kyler, but he also makes just the rest of the roster make sense, right? This is what happens sometimes is AJ Green is a really good number two receiver, and Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk, these guys are all look amazing when they're the 2-3-4 receivers, not when they're the 1-2-3 receivers. And everybody getting bumped up that one spot, I think, ends up hurting them. The defense has not been overly impressive to me. You just let Jared Goff carve you up. This is just a classic. I get the better coach, Frank Reich. I get the better offense, which I believe is true right now with what the Colts are doing on the ground. Colts, by the way, like, look at their season. If you look at their record overall, they started the year 1-4. So 4 of their losses came during the first 5 weeks of the season. It's a completely different football team. I think that they're just getting ready for the stretch of the season. Blake, are you riding with me on Colts plus 2.5?
So on Coolbet, that line's actually down to Colts plus 1. So that tells us two things. Yeah. That tells us, one, you were probably, when you looked at the initial lines, you're on the right side of that, right? Like, yeah, that's moving the right direction for you. Two, you guys know that I've banged the short road dogs a lot this year, and there aren't many this week. It's the Colts, the Bills, the Dolphins, and then depending on where that line lands, like maybe Bears at Seahawks, but it's hovering right around a touchdown, so it's probably doesn't qualify there. So we know that teams in these situations have done pretty well this year, like a little north of a 60% clip. I do like the Colts. Last week was really dispiriting for me for the Cardinals. Even with the line movement from plus 2.5 to plus 1, I project this as like pretty close to a pick 'em. So, you know, at plus 2.5, you take the points. At plus 1, I probably just go money line. The money line there is minus 103, so almost even money. And that's right around where I project it. So, you know, the value's been stripped out of it. But, yeah, I think the Colts might win this game.
Yeah, I'm with that too. And, you know, you talk about the Bills as a short road dog. Listen, anytime you see a line at minus 2.5, the book is baiting you to bet the favorite, right? Conversely, you see the 7.5 in the Browns-Packers game. The book wants you to take the Browns. So I'm going to go Packers and Bills in those games, I think.
Okay. You know what, though? That's interesting. So Bills, because we could stick with that for a second. I actually also like the Bills plus 2.5 here. And I don't even really know why, considering the way that they've looked against good opponents as of late. I keep looking at this saying, I would just watch the Patriots lose to the Colts where the weather wasn't insane. And if the weather is not nuts this weekend, I just don't know if Mac Jones is ready to win football games like this. And I sort of feel like this is the time of the year where we start to see those kind of players rise to the occasion. I think the Bills, this is going to be the ultimate meaning game for their franchise. They got embarrassed last time out. And I know sometimes we put too much stock into that as gamblers, Blake. I'm sure that there are numbers to back this up in terms of, hey, putting too much emphasis on emotion and an emotional game. But I don't know. This is one of those ones where it almost feels like if you lose this game, your coach is squarely on the hot seat. That if you do anything short of win a Super Bowl, he might be fired. This would be embarrassing for you. This would be embarrassing for your defense. That literally the media went to the podium and asked, "Was this an embarrassing loss for you?" This is an all or nothing game for the Buffalo Bills. And so if I like them on the money line, I like them certainly plus 2.5. I think we kind of have to play the Bills if you believe anything in terms of pride in football, Blake.
Yeah. So I want to take us to one other game. I'm with you on Bills, and obviously there's a. you know, there's the option to emotional hedge or happiness hedge, as Eilish calls it. I'm not a Bills fan, but I like Bills fans to be happy. There are enough of them in my orbit. There's one other short road dog that I wanted your guys' take on it. And there's enough uncertainty around this game that it's actually off the board at Cool Bet right now. But it projects as about a field goal game, is Ravens at Bengals. And that division is so hard to tell in general. Lamar Jackson didn't practice on Wednesday. The Bengals are a little banged up as well, including Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow, but both of those players practiced yesterday. So I know we're a little early in the week compared to when we normally go, but do either of you have a good feel on Ravens at Bengals? Because, like, the Ravens have underwhelmed, but they also, without their quarterback, almost made that comeback last week. I'm having a lot of trouble with that division in general.
Yeah, well, I mean, the teams in the division are having a lot of trouble in general, too. It's hard because the Ravens are the best rush defense in the league. And, like, I thought they were dead in the water last week. And then Mark Andrews, you know, does, like, 2 years ago Mark Andrews stuff. Although he's had a pretty good season this year, I think, getting off here last year. And Huntley looked fine. Like, I don't think, I mean, I guess you have to call him a downgrade from Lamar Jackson. But to me, he plays a whole lot like him, and I was pretty impressed. Now, on the other side, you know, if Cincinnati can't establish the run, and then you're relying on, you know, you're relying on, like, Jamar Chase to have a good game, which is a coin flip, you know, great game or nothing. For me, it's really hard in this game.
Yeah, I don't have a feel for either of these teams. I got to tell you, this is not one that I like, especially on a Thursday. You mentioned the Lamar Jackson not practicing thing. I believe that's huge, man, because Huntley looks good. And I'm certainly not going to go so hot take where I really believe that Tyler Huntley is better than Lamar Jackson is. I like to joke that way with my brother, a Ravens fan, but ultimately Lamar healthy is better. But if Lamar Jackson does not have his legs, then he's not Lamar Jackson. This isn't Tom Brady who can't run outside the pocket. It's Lamar. So I don't know why we would pretend in any fashion that that is not having a huge impact on the way that you would view this team. Both of the Bengals have been so herky-jerky. The Ravens have actually sneakily been more consistent despite all the injuries, but they're one of those teams where they're so beat up, you feel like an idiot if you do bet on them in these spots. The Ravens have been quite good to me this year, so I would say that I would be leaning the Ravens in this case, but it's a stay away for me. Chris, do you have a favorite game as of right now that is on the board for you?
Nothing that really stands out. I actually kind of like tonight's game. I think tonight's game, you're looking at an under. You've got two teams that run the ball a lot, two quarterbacks that aren't going to light up the scoreboard with deep passing, or at least I say this, and they probably will later on tonight. But I think everything points to a low-scoring game here. And I think I like the Niners to cover, and looks like the money's going that way as well. It's at -3 now, but -114. So, yeah, I think San Fran's been more consistent. They've right now got more explosive playmakers. You never know how long the receivers are going to stay in the game for Tennessee because they're just made of plastic. No, not plastic. They're made of porcelain. And, it's screaming under in San Fran to me tonight.
So I like San Fran too, but two things scare me. AJ Brown coming back, really do feel like this dude is a bit underrated because we talk about how valuable Derrick Henry is to that offense, and I don't think we talk enough about how valuable AJ Brown is to it. And Elijah Mitchell is out, and the Niners have been usually pretty running back proof. They can just sort of cycle through guys, but I've never really been a Hasty or who's the other guy?
Jeff Wilson Jr.
Jeff Wilson Jr. Those two guys sort of underwhelm me. There's a reason why they drafted Trey Sermon, and so I'm a little nervous. I think this is going to be a big Deebo Samuel game, but if we're going to talk about receivers who tend to get dinged up, the guy that they ask to play running back sometimes is one of those things. So I'm going to be playing the Niners too, but I'm not as confident about it as I was earlier in the week when I thought – they're also missing two linebackers, the Niners. I should point that out. They're missing two of their starting linebackers. Their secondary is a little bit beat up. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because I thought the line was very suspicious because the Niners, the way that they've been tracking versus the way that the Titans have been playing, I thought that this would be a much bigger line. I thought this would be something closer to 6.5. And those injuries are the reason why it's closer. So I think I might be with you and tease that under up a little bit and then throw it with something else tonight, because you're right. I would anticipate a lot of running the football this evening, and it's just a matter of whether or not those defenses can hold up.
Yeah, and the, you know, I think another reason the line is lower is that Tennessee is one of the top possession teams in the league. Like they have the ball, I think, like 33 minutes a game, but they don't tend to score a whole lot of points. And I think that, you know, that obviously that's great for an under. So, and then San Francisco has, you know, runs the ball a lot as well. They're both top 10 in rushing defense. So it lends to me to be a low scoring game, even though the total is relatively low at 44. I think, you know, you're probably looking at something under that.
Well, I would just say to people that are listening to this thing, if you are going to tease that total, 44 is a bit of a trap number that if you do tease, when you look at the most like common scores and the most important key numbers for totals, 45 and 46, those hit a lot. Those are very, very common numbers in the NFL. So teasing it to 46.5 might be the play, even if you have to pay a little bit of juice if you do like the under. Cool bet, Chris Abbott, my guy. Let's stay hot in the Circuit Picks contest. And again, if you want to play on Cool Bet, follow Cool Bet, Chris. Follow myself. Shoot us a DM, and we'll hit you up with a promo code. Chris, I'll talk to you in the group chat later today. See you, bud.
All right, guys. Have a great holiday. Talk soon.
So hello? Before we – hey, look who's back.
Yeah.
Hello, it's me from the dead.
Ailish, you got to settle a prop bet for us here. Are you back on a different computer, or did you manage to get your main computer working?
My main computer just died.
So this is your backup computer?
This is a backup computer?
This is my work computer now, and I have not used it since my orientation. I didn't even know the login. I had to download Zoom. I had to figure out how to use this thing.
Can I just tell you, though, as to, like, now I feel bad for laughing at the water.
Yeah, my computer just died. Like, well, it went,
yeah,
and water was pouring out of the keys.
This is now the equivalent of when someone shows up to work in a suit that doesn't normally wear a suit, and you say, oh, look at you all dressed up, and they go, oh, it's for a funeral. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
And now I got to tell you, though, I'm very impressed with your turnaround time. Had the shoe been on my foot, there is absolutely no chance I would have made it back within 15 minutes of a new laptop that I didn't know the login for, Zoom. Blake, what would you – so if we did this, like, you set your over-under because Ailish made it in about 15 minutes. So the number is at 14.5 for Ailish Forfar. What's the number for Blake Murphy?
If I spilled on something, how quickly could I get back on?
You spill the water. You have to clean up your laptop, try to get it into some rice, get a new
computer.
I don't
have any rice is the problem. I have no rice.
Oh, boy.
So here's how committed I am to this show.
You got to go get rice. Leave now.
This is silly, but I have three laptops and a desktop. I'd be fine. You need to give me 5 minutes because I would sacrifice the state of my laptop to just hop on another device and get back.
Crazy.
And yes,
I would never.
I realize it's weird that I have multiple computers, but one.
Not really.
So. One died, or not died, but it doesn't hold a charge anymore, so I can't use it anywhere unless it's plugged in. So that's kind of like my sitting on the couch idly. And then I got
a
new one to
replace multiple
that.
Laptops at once? That's crazy.
I only have one TV, so that's how I get a multi-screen setup going on.
Okay.
It's like I'll have one game up on one laptop, one game up on another laptop, work laptop on my lap. To like for notes and stuff like that, and then a game on the TV as well.
So we got to go, but I would like to say that Ailish, if you leave right now to go get rice, I'm not going to fault you for it. Just saying.
Okay, one quickly before we go, we got to do the Wake and Rake parlay for this week. Okay, we'll do it later.
Yeah, we got a break. We're so late for break, but we will provide a Wake and Rake parlay because Blake is red hot, so we at least need to get Blake's picks. We'll let Ailish settle in. We'll let her go run and get rice. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590 The Fan.